You are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork. We'll be blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting. As we stiff arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham and John Spears. In this episode, we discuss John's heartbreaking one-point loss to Amanda last week as Farewell to Hope finds himself reeling down the stretch. We preview Week 14 matchups, four of which have massive playoff implications. Levi breaks down the final power rankings of the season. And in the mailbag, I ask Levi an existential question that Levi fails to answer. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, here we are, week 14. We are in the final week of the regular season, and the Shaky Baby Alliance is battling for the fifth and sixth seed in the playoffs. We will dive deep into that later. And so there are some meaningful matchups coming up in week 14 that we will cover, but quickly we're going to look back at week 13. Starting with Black Sunday, I took on my hacksaw brother and get by him 226 to 201, making me now 6-3 all time versus Rob. Also, the Plants took on the All Stars and eked by 205 to 200, and Joe still holds a 5-3 record versus Levi. And then we got the Bleeders, who took on Scoop's Troop and the dumpiest game of the week, outscoring Jason 154 to 130. And Lance is now 10-3 versus Jason all time. And just something that's noteworthy, it's got to be said because it's just true, but Lance has by far the least amount of points scored against this season and all time. We can talk about the all time later, but he's got 2,360 points against this season. The second least, I forget who it was, but 2,555. So almost 200 points fewer than the second fewest amount of points scored against. And so Lance, while his team is strong, good roster, putting up points, he's also been very, very lucky. But he's down 10-3, sitting at the top of the league.
It's Jason.
I'm sorry?
Jason is the second fewest.
Oh, okay, yeah. Jason has a second fewest, so they took on each other and they scored 280 combined points. So, there's that one. And, let's see, John, wow. Farewell to Hope took on Victoria's Secret and it came down to Monday night and Amanda squeaks by here 231 to 230, making now Amanda 8-4 all time versus John. And that was only the ninth one-point game in CFL history. And Amanda, by the way, another noteworthy fact, she is 3-0 all-time in one-point games. John's 2-1 in one-point games. So both of them have been involved in three one-point games, three of the nine. And then we did have a whooping, sort of. The Slops take down the Houdinis 200 to 173. Derek is still 7-5 all time versus Jeff. So that's that. That's kind of the quick rundown. I'll just throw it out to you guys. If you have any comments about last week, what that meant, what it means, 1 point loss, crappy, dumpy game. A lot of close games last week.
Yeah, this was like a critical week looking back, like, and everyone kind of had chances in their games. Like all the games were fairly close, with the biggest margin only being 27, which is lowest all year by far. Just like, you have 4 point game, so it's a 20 point game, 1 point game. So I was watching Monday night and it was pretty intense with my match. I wish I'd paid a little more attention to the other ones because they seemed like they were also nail biters. Like going into Monday night, Joe and Amy had Henderson and the Patriots defense, and if I think it was down to like the last couple minutes, and like they could have just ran it, like handed the ball off to Henderson for a touchdown, and I would have been done. And that's how close it was for my season to be over. And now I'm, you know, sitting in the catbird seat trying to get into the playoffs. What'd you think, John?
As far as the whoopings, you said it's like 20 point. Was that the lowest whooping?
I'd have to look.
27 was this week.
How's the whooping race shake up now? Did Jeff already have a whooping this week or this year?
Did Jeff have a whooping?
Yeah. And now he just got one. We're going into the final week of who wins the whooping of the week.
Yeah, so let me pull it up. So let's see. We've got Jeff's. That was his second whooping. And so
it's all tied now, right?
That's wild. Yeah, myself, Rob, Jeff, John all have two.
So it will come down. It just ends in week 14, right?
Yeah, and
so what are the one whooping?
Jason has one. Lance has two as well.
Yeah,
that throws in another one, and Joe has one.
I think I didn't have one.
You have one. Sorry, I missed you too. Yeah.
Well, I was saying it's like now, like with it being only 1 week, the teams that only have one whooping can play, and as long as they have the biggest whooping this week,
right,
or have had the biggest whooping already.
Which I will say that will be pretty tough to top.
Yeah, John has 172 point whooping over me. That's probably not going to happen.
So
John's going to win the whooping paddle unless me, Lance, Rob, or Jeff get a whooping. So that's kind of that.
So that's something to play for. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, some of these teams that have been eliminated, they'll have something to play for this week at least.
Get that paddle.
So John had a 1 point game against Levi. You want to talk about that? You had Cortland Sutton.
Amanda.
With Amanda, yeah.
Yeah, that came down to the last, I think it was a Sunday night game. And that game didn't end until like midnight. And it was like, if I was playing to get in the playoffs, I don't know if I could have watched it. It was insane. And I just had to realize, you know what, I'm in the playoffs, who cares? Like, but I needed one catch for 15 yards.
From Sutton.
They throw the ball, they get it down to the 10. And I was like, well, he has to score now. And then they threw him another pass for 6 yards, put me within 1 point. And I was like, well.
That game went to overtime, too.
And it went to overtime. They scored. The other team came down to score, and I was like, well, if they kick the extra point, they'll get the ball back. Well, they went for two like idiots, and they lost, so it ended the game. But, yeah, that was a frustrating. I'd rather be on that side of it, I think, trying to catch her than have the lead and her try to catch me, I think, because I feel like I had a chance the whole game.
I feel the same with you because I had that feeling with the Patriots Giants on Monday. I had that feeling with that same game too. Not necessarily my game, but like I'm paying attention to Jason's team, and he was in that situation with Denver's defense.
Yeah,
and he needed to get points with Denver's defense, and like I think Washington got like just enough yards right before overtime to like keep him from winning.
Yeah, no, that was a pivotal game. It was a good win on Amanda. She needed it way more than I did. So
yeah,
lose this week though, Amanda.
Yeah. So man, John is kind of limping down the stretch here as he stormed out of the gate. Has really been the top of the standings all year, and now he moves into week 14 in the matchup of the week, going to take on the Purple Bleeders. They are battling for the number one seed. In fact, John, if he loses and I win, will actually lose the bye. And so a lot on the table here in this matchup. And so that's what we're going to look at, the Bleeders taking on Farewell to Hope. John is 5-4 all time versus Lance, so close in the head-to-head as well. John gets Goff on Thursday, throws 309 yards and a touchdown, but just 24 fantasy points. And so not a bad start there for Goff. And then he's got Bijan against Seattle. That's going to be tough. He's throwing in Kenneth Gainwell. Adonai Mitchell is in his roster this week. And so he's going to need his big dogs, Achane, Kyren Williams, and Bijan to really be studs this week. On the other side, you know, Lance James Cook against Cincinnati. That's a juicy, juicy matchup for Cook. Is he going to get anything from Jefferson? JSN's taking on Atlanta, which does have a pretty good pass defense, but JSN has been, I mean, he's been matchup proof pretty much all year. So this is going to be a close. I got to go Lance here.
I'm going to leave John just for the vibes, basically. Like, I think John has had the best team, and him not getting the bye doesn't feel right for me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So I'm going to be I'll pick John and be rooting for him. I think James Cook's going to get his points for Lance, and then the rest of the players, I'm not. I mean, maybe JSN pulls it together, but he's had a bad couple weeks, and then the rest of his players like been kind of pedestrian lately. So I don't know. I feel like John can have like a okay week and still win as long as he gets his numbers. So.
Yeah, I'm taking me. I'm not excited about it. I think a player to watch on each team is Justin Jefferson and Adonai Mitchell. Like, if either one of those guys go off, I think it's probably going to tilt the game one way or the other. You know, Lance's team's good. You know, Bo Nix against Vegas. And I'm not excited about it, but I need the win to get the bye, so I'm taking myself.
All right, there we go. That's going to be a big-time matchup. Everybody will have their eyes on that one. All right, next matchup, Slop Nasty going to take on the Plants. Jeff is 8-6 versus Levi all time. This one also has playoff implications. Levi, of course, battling for that fifth or sixth spot in the playoffs. Jeff is comfortably in, but trying to hang on to a better seed. And so Jeff's 8-5, Levi's 6-7. And Levi starts out the week with 49 points from Jahmyr Gibbs, who's really been his bell cow all season long. And for Jeff, he gets just 12 points from Pickens. So that hurts. And just looking down the lineup here, Jeff's got Manungai in there. Hampton is still in his IR spot. Will he return? Looks like he will. How much volume will he get? That's uncertain. And so he's got some question marks there. Of course, I like Jamar Chase, although he's taking on Buffalo, and their pass defense is actually decent. But I really think Puka taking on the Cardinals is going to be a big time. I like Judkins there against Tennessee, although Caleb Williams has a tough matchup against Green Bay. But I think I'm going to take Levi here to sneak him into the playoffs.
Yeah. Gibbs has really helped me get a leg up so far. This used to be, like, since Rob's taken over commissioner, this used to be my week one matchup with Jeff. It's kind of weird having that reverse to the end of the year matchup. Makes it a little more interesting, in my opinion. Yeah, like, like you said, Brad, I'm my quarterbacks. I think if they just hit their projection, which, like, whenever they've had good games, they've been in the 30s. But like, if they get 30, I think I'm good. I don't really need to worry about, just because I've had such a leg up from Gibbs on Thursday. So I'll be eyeing the quarterbacks. And then, you know, Jeff, he's had some buys. I'm thankful enough that Drake May's not playing this week. He's forced to play Sam Darnold, who hasn't been great lately, but you know. He's had a good year, so. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna take myself.
Yeah, I'm taking Levi here as well. Gibbs getting 50, that's a pretty good start. Jeff losing Drake May is bad timing. I think it's the MVP, the league MVP, probably in the NFL, where he's up there, and all your buys. This is what I would want to see: the players that I don't want to have to worry about starting. They're on bye. You don't have to even think about it. You're playing other than Jackson Dart.
Yeah, probably. I would prefer to play Dart over.
But Brissett since week six has been insane.
If Dart was playing, that would make my decisions a little tougher. I wouldn't know which.
I think he's better off that he's on a bye.
Yeah.
I think other than Marvin Harrison with him being out, which he's kind of been a little bit up and down.
I just want to declare it out so I can pick up a player.
So I think this is probably your best lineup that you didn't have to worry about. So I would be much comfortable being in your position. And looking at Jeff's bench, he's stashing league winners on his bench with Blake Corum and Algier. When those two guys go down, Kyren Williams or Bijan, Jeff's team drastically changes, and then he gets Omarion Hampton back. So I think he's just getting to the playoffs. Doesn't really help him if he wins or loses. It only helps you or hurts you. So I feel like you're probably going to take the win here. And then if a couple things go Jeff's way the next week or two, his team changes big time.
I will say it's not all, it doesn't matter to Jeff, because Jeff's made that prediction a couple weeks ago that the Fashion Brothers won't make playoffs.
I'm sure he wants to win. But, yeah. At the end of the day, he's fine. Yeah. I think his team is poised. He's got some juicy waiver pickups. And with Hampton on the verge of coming back, his team could look a lot different going to the playoffs. It's become really scary.
Yeah, critical matchup, especially for the Plants, needing a win likely to get into the playoffs there. All right, next up, Black Sunday. I'm taking on the Scoops Troop. Jason is 7-3 all time versus me, so he's really got the edge against me all time. This one's another critical matchup. I do have CMC out on a bye, so that's not ideal. And Jason really doesn't have any buys, but he does have Odunze, who's out. And so he's bringing in, I guess, Dobbs or Pierce. And then St. Brown went on Thursday night getting 24 points, which I take that. Mm-hmm. That's probably his best player in this lineup, looking up maybe McBride. And then I get 21 out of Javonte Williams, which I'll take. That's fine. He's had better weeks, but 20 plus from him, I'll take it. And so, like I said, a lot on the line here. If I get a victory and John loses, I will earn the bye, most likely the 2 seed. Jason has got to win, desperately has to win. And then other things happen for him to get into the playoffs, which we'll get into later. But, so pretty even start on Thursday night. I happen to like my lineup a little bit better this week. I'm not going to go into much detail. I did pick up Terry McLaurin, put a lot of fab on him. So he's got Jaden Daniels in his lineup, so there's that kind of matchup there. I like myself. It's going to be close. The projections are close. Pretty even start, but give me Black Sunday here.
Yeah, I got to go with you, Brad. Helps me. Yeah, if you win.
Not because you love me, but because it helped you. Okay, yes. Just as long as we're clear.
Yeah, we're understanding. It's definitely going to be a close week because you don't have CMC. Jaden Daniels coming back. If he has a good game, that could, give Jason the boost to actually score significant numbers. He hasn't done that in, probably 3 weeks that he's been scoring in the 150 area. So he has a good. Amon Ross St. Brown almost didn't play. It's questionable, and then ended up playing and got him 24. So I'm sure he's happy with that. Cause, maybe he could have played somebody else, but I think that's fine. So I'm going to take you. It'll probably come down to Monday with the Philly playing the Chargers. You got the stack.
Mm.
Yeah. This is just probably me throwing Jason a bone here. I'm going to take his team, give him a little bit of hope. McCaffrey out, that's going to hurt anybody. He's been the best running back all season long, dropping 40s every week. Most notably, Terry McLaurin. Did anyone else bid on him?
Nope.
I wanted to, but I just didn't have money.
I forgot all about him.
I
thought he was on a roster. And I saw Brad picked him up, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
you dropped a load on him, $399 or something like that.
because of injuries.
Rest of my fab.
And the bye.
That could turn your season around big time.
Could. Maybe.
Jaden Daniels back.
That was my thinking. So, we'll see.
That was a good pickup. I didn't see. I don't know how I missed that. But it seems like everyone else did as well.
Yeah, I thought for sure people were going to bid on him.
Yeah,
I didn't have money. Big money.
Yeah.
But, shoo. But yeah, I think I'll take Jason here, just throw him kind of a bone. I like that he picked up Jordan Mason, especially if he can make the playoffs. It looks like, you know, Aaron Jones has kind of been in the league a while. He gets dinged up. He could be one of those league winners if he gets somehow squeezed in there. But yeah, Jason, very low confidence, but a little hope for you.
All right. Lot on the line in that matchup as well. So the next matchup, Intoxicated All-Stars in the role of Spoiler. It's going to take on Victoria's Secret. Amanda is 8-3 all-time versus Joe. So Thursday night had quite a bit going on for the All-Stars as Jameson Williams had a good game, 27 points. Ferguson and Dak get about their projection, which is fine. Amanda has Lamb, who goes for 32. Good game there. And so kind of an even start there with those with that game. But I have to lean towards Amanda here. I love Josh Jacobs against Chicago. I think Stafford against the Cardinals can put up big numbers. Rice does have a tough matchup with Houston, but he might just be matchup proof. And then DK just continues to be the kick returner of the year. She gets so many points from her kick return yards from DK. But on the other side, Joey has some potential here to blow up with Josh Allen against the Bengals. And he's got Bucky Irving coming back, which, man, if he gets a huge game from Bucky and can get anything out of Metcalf and Godwin, who Godwin's coming back off injury as well, this could be a sneaky game here for Joe. Joe could put up some big points as he had a decent start on Thursday. But I think Amanda's going to have a little bit more firepower here, so give me the Secret.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, but I think this will be very close. Although, after the playoff scenarios, I don't think this game's going to matter as much as the match between me and Jeff and Jason and you, Brad.
Yeah.
Because as long as Amanda's scoring a decent amount of points, she should win the tiebreaker over me and Jason if it comes down to that. But definitely a loss could throw that into jeopardy. And if she doesn't score enough points, maybe something happened, I think. But I'm willing to play the odds here and take Amanda.
Yeah, I'm going to take Joe here. He started off pretty good. And weird how the way luck works is that Amanda had Lamb. He got all his points before he got that concussion. It's crazy. He had 6 catches for 121 yards. I think around halftime, somewhere around there.
That's more of a problem for her if she makes the playoff. Lamb might not play next week. It's a kind of...
That could be... Yeah, luckily, he got his points before the injury happened. Yeah. And then with J-Mo, I don't think St. Brown was going to play. A lot of people didn't think he was going to play coming off that injury last week. And it kind of took away some of his steam, so to speak, because J-Mo would have probably exploded that game for 50 or 60 if St. Brown didn't play. So he kind of caught a little bit of the bad luck, but she kind of caught a little bit of the good luck there.
Yeah.
But I think Joe's got a good chance of beating Amanda, especially with Bucky Irving coming back. I think he played last week, dropped 20, I think. I think that's what it was. Mm. Yeah, 24. So, yeah, Josh Allen, I mean, could be a 60-bomb week.
Yeah, could be.
So, he's going to need that.
He's due for something. He's a dud.
And what better player to have it against, what better defense to have it against. So, I'm going to take Joe here, but I wouldn't be shocked if Manny can pull it out.
All right, so we just ran down 4 matchups that have playoff implications. A lot on the line for each of those matchups. This next matchup is not the case. This is the dumpiest, most toilet bowliest matchup of the season. As my hacksaw brother, the Cleveland Steamers, who have lost 3 in a row, who are 4-9, had a disappointing season. Battled injuries, just had a tough go about it. Had a couple gaffes with his roster. But here he is. He finds himself against another team who is even worse. Lost 7 in a row. The Houdinis are 3-10. Really just been on the struggle bus all year. And so Derek, though, is 7-4 all time versus Rob. I am not going to talk about any of these players because nobody cares. But I am taking Rob for the win.
While playoff implications are not a factor here, I think there are some incentives here for both teams. But pride. Mostly pride. Yeah. It's more on the Rob side, but or Derek's side being pride. It'd be good for him to not end the season on an 8-game losing streak, which would be. It's pretty bad. I've been there before, yeah. And it's not a good spot. That you know, kind of have to shake yourself off. And if you win here, maybe you can bring some momentum into next year. Now with Rob, we talked about the whoopings. Larry, he has 2 whoopings. And if he whoops this, he gets the whooping this week. He wins the paddle.
Yeah, that is true. There is that.
So there's still some things.
There's
here.
Something.
Devin said, I'm going to go with Derek. I think he's not going to. He normally has. He's up there with Lance with consistency with his team. This is probably the worst team or worst record that I've seen him have that I can remember. So I don't think he's going to end it on an 8-game losing streak. I'm going to take Derek.
Can you conjure up any words at all, John?
What two better people to be at the bottom? I mean, they should be at the bottom. It's like two guys over here fighting and nobody cares about it. We're just going to let them beat each other up.
Hey, they're out there. Dude, they're out there on the waiver wire. They're picking up players. They're dropping.
What are y'all doing?
Got some war on the floor over there.
Yeah.
Like, war on the floor.
What are you doing? Like... Rob should forfeit his whooping paddle if he gets it this week.
Oh.
That shouldn't be
allowed. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No, not if he gets it, he gets it.
Stay whatever. He needs to forfeit it.
That's opinion pitch.
I mean, could you imagine?
It would be the first time the paddle winner hasn't gone to the playoffs.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true, yeah.
Should that even be allowed? I can't even think of a good analogy, like if
I will say that you're in the lead right now with paddle.
And it's like, I'm in the lead and we're tied with this guy. It's like the Washington Generals going around saying that they scored the most points against the Globetrotters, and they have they've never won, or they maybe won once. It makes no sense that he's even in the talks of getting a paddle. We should be able to hit him with it.
Oh, what?
I think if he wins, we should be able to hit him with it.
You mean like at the banquet in front of everybody?
If he gets,
bend over and
we should
and take
be able
it.
To hit him with it. The two, all the people that are tied with the most whoopings that are in the playoffs should be able to hit him with it.
I mean, that could be some good theater. You know, if everybody gets to take their turn.
Yeah.
Against Rob.
I mean, I didn't even say. Derek should be able to hit him with it.
Oh.
After
getting whooped?
After giving up the final whooping?
Well, let's talk about Derek, too.
And Rob gets to hit Derek with it.
Well, we can talk about Rob and how bad his team, blah, blah, blah. But Derek's been whooped 3 times this season.
Well, maybe Rob's,
you know,
maybe that's the thing. Maybe Rob has to whoop.
You know how many times Rob's been whooped? Once. Okay. So you might have that backwards.
We can maybe discuss that
when it happens. It ain't
happening. But I do love Rob's team here. I love them all good.
He's not giving up on it.
I won't.
You won't ever.
I'll hold him over. You know, grab my hand, Rob. Come on.
He's just gonna have to draft players you don't like next year.
That's fine.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, give me Rob.
So you're taking Rob
in a squeaker.
I think
not a whooping.
Did you take Derek?
I took Derek.
All right, so one person did take Derek. So
it's a shame, but we had to take somebody here.
And I'm kind of stalling here for a second because I'm going through and looking up. Okay, yeah. So just for an FYI, the 26.72 point whooping that Jeff put on Derek last week is the least amount of points in a whooping of all time. The second least was 33 points. And I don't know.
We've been pretty good. Like, we last year there were a lot of like 40 point whoopings that didn't really feel like whoopings, and this is probably the first one that I can remember this year that didn't feel like a whooping.
No. That's so maybe Jeff needs to get hit with it.
Maybe. Gave it up. Gave up a tiny whooping.
Yeah. Maybe he gets a tiny paddle. We'll give Jeff a tiny paddle.
Tiny.
You have the lowest whooping, you get a tiny paddle.
All right, we can vote on that. But yeah, guys, we've got the final week of the regular season. There are four matchups that we're all going to be looking at that will have implications on seeding and on whether certain teams make the playoffs. It should be noted that the Shaky Baby Alliance, those three, are in a battle with each other to earn that fifth and sixth seed. And so it'll be interesting to see who gets left out of that one. One of those three will be left out. And if you're just looking at ESPN, I think it was Amanda has a 92% chance. I think Levi's is like 70 or something. And then Jace is like 26 or something. Like, I don't know. So 92,
I'm 81. 81. Jason's 27.
So Jason has the most work to do there. He needs certain things to happen and definitely needs to win. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be dramatic. Hopefully we have some close matchups that we can talk about next week as we look into week one of the playoffs. But for now, we're going to move on.
Well, real quick, there's one thing to
note. No, we're not.
And tonight, no, there's one matchup that doesn't matter. It's Rob and Derek.
Oh, that's correct.
So not everything has implications.
They've been eliminated.
They've been, yeah.
All right. So other than Rob and Derek, you can continue to listen, and we'll move on to the power rankings next.
All right, everybody, we're going to jump into the power rankings and try to hammer down the playoff scenarios. A little bit easier this year than most years just because we have three teams eliminated, four teams clinched. Really only need to worry about the middle teams and potential bye teams as well. But I'll start with the power rankings. And the bottom three are the three eliminated teams. Cleveland Steamers, Intoxicated All-Stars, Houdinis at 8, 9, and 10. Not much to say there. It's kind of, and they didn't win enough. And the computer agrees that they're at the bottom. And then top three, number one, we still got Farewell to Hope, 87.2. Jumped up a little bit. But Lance has closed the gap at the second spot with 84.95. So he's almost 2 points away from jumping you. And if he beats you this week, he'll probably end the year as the number one power rankings.
He jumped me in ESPN's power rankings. He's one now.
Yeah. And then at number three is Brad with 76.55. That's 8 points. 7.5 points, something like that, from Lance. Clear to find third, but still has a chance at being, you know, having a bye. I don't think you have a chance at.
You can't
win the season, so that can only come down to Lance or John.
Yeah.
But you can definitely get a bye if you win.
Hey, that's good enough for me. I'll take a bye.
Then, so that leaves 4, 5, 6, and 7. And coming to number four, we got Itzel Plantsgrave, 67.6. And they've liked how many points I've been scoring. And like I think they've put that more into impact on the number than the wins. And then I'm getting wins over the past month, and it's been able to help me jump over some other teams. It's like I'm above Jeff, who has two more wins than me.
And a little paddle.
And that's a little paddle. So that puts me at four. They, I feel like if I was to pick the teams that would win the whole league, I don't know if I'd put me at four right now. I think I would pick Amanda over me with some of her players.
It's probably fair.
But you know, the machines like me, which comes to number five at 64.85, which is 2.5, 3 points away from me. It's Victoria's Secret. So they've given Amanda her credit, and they're not liking Jeff as much. But I feel like if Jeff with Hampton coming back and some of his other players getting a little more healthy, he might be dangerous. But like, they're spoiler alert, Jeff's at six and he's got 64.45 to Amanda's 64.85, so 0.4 of a point. Mm. And they could flip flop at any moment. And then that leaves at number seven, 56.3 Scoops Troops. Jason hasn't been able to score, you know, over 150 in a few weeks. So, and that's the machines punishing for that and put him in seven. But still, as you have one good week and then he's in the playoffs. And that's pretty much the power rankings. I think we could discuss next week after, but like, this is kind of like the critical, basically the end of the season power rankings.
Yeah, it really does playoffs. At this point. It is what it is. You play, win, and you're in kind of thing.
Yeah.
For those three teams.
Machines, seems like they're picking Jason to be the outside looking in, which that makes sense.
Yeah, just, it seems fair.
Yeah, he's had the most injuries of these top teams.
It's not baffling. So, yeah. But the machines liking you is only good on Judgment Day. So at this point, you know, Jason might set your lineup and hope you win and hope Levi loses. And,
yeah. You know. Brad's not at full strength this week, or he's got some critical buys, and he could just be in. And, you know, at the end of the year, we could be crazier things have happened where Jason could be winning the league. But just try to pay attention now to see how that's going to end up at the end of the year. But we'll go over the playoff scenarios as well. I'll go ahead and talk about the buys. We spoiled that a little bit. Right now, the matchup is between John and Lance. The winner of that is the number one seed and has the bye. I don't think there's any way of getting around that because John would have the same number of wins as Lance and a win over him and more points.
Two wins over him.
Two wins over him. I have the tiebreaker.
So the winner of that game wins the league and, the bye.
Yeah. So the loser's a little different. So loser could, either one of them could drop out of the bye.
I would drop out of the lose and Brad wins.
Yeah. So basically the loser, if Brad wins, the loser might drop out of the three, drop down to the three seed because Brad has more points. But let me double check. Let's see. Let me check Brad's schedule.
Versus Lance.
Versus Lance, yes. Let's see. Black Sunday. Brad has one loss and one win, so it comes down to points. Right now, Brad has more points than Lance. So either way, I believe, with Lance or John losing, if Brad wins, then he jumps up to the two seed, and then the loser goes down.
Oh, wow. Feet. So long as I win, I get to two.
You have more points than
him. Okay.
Points could come into play, I think, because, the points are pretty close.
He would have the better record versus me.
Yours wouldn't matter, though.
Points wouldn't matter. He would have a better record. If I lose, Brad gets a two.
Yeah, you have the better record. So that points don't matter.
Between Lance, he has the points.
So, but their points four are pretty close. They're only like 19, 20 points. Like, if Lance loses but gets 20 more points than Brad for the week, still stay in two. So points are going to be important. I would keep an eye on that if you're Lance or Brad. A little tight. Like, to see who gets this bye, and byes are super critical. Yeah. I've seen plenty of times where somebody's gotten a bye, and then like that first week they had a clunker, and it saved them.
But last year, if Derek didn't get the bye, he would have had the largest. Potentially had the largest whooping ever. Remember, he scored like 348 points or something.
Apparently, apparently that doesn't count.
I mean, who did he whoop? Yeah,
that's right. So yeah, the pretty interesting of the buys. Something to fight for all three of those teams. Mm-hmm. This all is pretty critical on whether Brad wins or not, though.
Yeah.
So if Brad loses, and it's kind of they retain.
I have two.
Or so, and then we already discussed eliminated teams, Steamers, Houdinis, Tuxedo All-Stars.
You're out.
Not going to happen this year. But that leaves, well, we forgot to talk about the Slop Nasties, a four seed. The thing about that, Slop Nasty, I don't think there's any way that Slop Nasty can move from the 4C, because let me double check Brad's schedule again. Let's see, Brad, did you beat Jeff? Yeah, you only played Jeff once and you beat him, so you win the tiebreaker there. So Jeff can't jump you at all.
What about if I lose, Brad loses?
You all would have more wins than Jeff.
No, because if he wins, we're all 9-5.
Oh, that's right. Let's see. Gotta check that.
Now I saw that.
Yeah. So, you beat Jeff. Yeah, you beat Jeff twice.
I did?
John. Okay. John's beat Jeff twice. You beat Jeff once. And you have the most points in the league. So Jeff can't jump you, either one of you. I think he's pretty much locked in the four. I don't think anyone below him can jump him if they're tiebreaker with him. I don't think anything can impact Jeff's four seed spot. That's locked in. So that brings it to the Shaky Baby Alliance with Amanda at the 5 spot. I'm at the 6 spot. Jason's at the 7 spot. And for Amanda, she's kind of in this. I think she's in a similar position to Jeff last week, where crazy things have to happen for her to not lock in a playoff spot. I think she has to, like, Jason has to get, like, 100 more points than her this week. And she needs to lose. And I need to win for her to, like, maybe get out of the... It seems very unlikely that she can't... Her spot at 5 or 6 can flip around if it ends up being that she loses, I win, Jason wins. I would jump her because of all three teams are tied. Their matchups are all like jumbled together, and it won't. I have the most points, so I would jump up to 5. That's the only scenario that I would jump above Amanda. Amanda could get put out of the playoffs if Jason scores like 100 more points than her this week. Seems unlikely. She's already got 30 from one player. And Jason's been struggling. But that's how it could happen if Amanda's watching. For me, like, if I win, I hold the tiebreaker over Jason with points. We played each other twice, and it's been 1-1, but I have more points. I have like 300 and something more points than him right now, so it doesn't seem likely he's going to jump me. So a win, and I've locked in the 6th seed at least. If it's tied up, then maybe I could jump up. But it seems like win, I get the 6th seed, and then Jason's the reverse of that, where he needs me to lose and him to win, and he would jump me. Like, he has to have a different record than me to get in, or have 100-something more points than...
Right, so he's the only one that, if he wins, he needs other things to happen.
Correct.
So,
yeah. So
everybody else you win, you're in, and you're in your spot.
Yeah.
If you win.
There's not a lot of movement, so that's what to keep an eye out for. And then we said it before, there's also some weird... there's a lot of teams that are a chance to win the paddle. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like whoever has two whoopings has a chance at, you know, a good chance that they whoop somebody this week of winning the paddle.
Oh yeah.
And you can still get a little paddle.
I might be locked up by Jeff.
It could be.
Get a little paddle.
He might have sent the message to the league. You want a little paddle, that road goes through slop nasty.
That's right. Yeah, so that'll do it for the playoff scenarios. Pretty interesting. It's a little bit easier to, like, understand what's going on this year than past years. Like, I remember, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where, like, I needed to make a scenario for everyone. Like, there was only, mm-hmm. like, maybe one or two teams locked up in the playoffs. And then 6, 7, 8 teams
yeah.
have some kind of chance. So, a little bit easier to consume.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of playoffs, kind of going back to the preseason where we did our playoff picks, probably appropriate to look at that now.
Yeah.
See how we did. So John picked Jeff and Lance, who are going to make it. But he picked Rob, Joe, and Derek. So those three teams, definitely Andy picked Amanda, who's on the fence, who looks good to get in, but still chance that she doesn't. Levi picked Jeff and John, who are in. But Levi also picked Rob and Joe, who didn't make it. And then he's got two on the fence. He picked himself and Amanda. So if himself and Amanda get in, then he's going to go 4-2 on his picks.
That's not bad.
You didn't take Derek?
He did not take Derek.
I had Derek and Lance out. I remember that for sure.
And then I've got four teams correct so far. I had Jeff, myself, John, and Lance. And I picked Rob and Joe. So I'm done. I'm 4-2 on my picks. So, yeah. Okay. But looks like John's going to get the little paddle in this one.
What? Hang on. How many did I get?
You got two right so far.
Oh, man. Did
and you got two on the fence.
You probably.
Or one on the fence.
So 3 is my mic.
3-3.
Oh, and I was looking through my notes. I have that computer machine picking the percentages for like who was gonna make the playoffs, and they picked Jeff as the number one seed, and he made the playoffs, but not the number one seed. Rob's the number two seed. Nope. Joe is the 3 seed. Nope. Me is the 4 seed. Possibly. Okay. Well, not the 4 seed, but possibly me. And then Lance and Amanda. They could be 4-2 as well.
And so, if you recall, after the draft, Lance, I think, had by far the lowest draft grade of everybody after the draft from the ESPN thing or the whatever whatever app he used.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I remember... Now, you picked, of course, I picked Lance, too, but I remember us not liking his team. But I do recall, now that I'm thinking about it, I do recall saying, I don't like his roster, but I trust Lance to make it just because he's always made it. And so, and by the way, we'll talk about this more in depth later, but this is Lance's 7th appearance, 7 in a row. He has made the playoffs every single season. And that's nothing to sneeze at. Although, he's been a little lucky, if not a lot lucky, but... That's fantasy football. Yeah, that's Derek, a part of it.
This would be his first time missing it, right? Weren't they both?
Yes, that's correct. This will be his first, miss. So
you want to look down in the future, Lance. Derek's your future next year.
Ooh.
Maybe it's some year.
Maybe. It's hard to bet against him when he's 7-7, but God.
And since we're on some of this stuff, Levi had mentioned the whooping. So myself, Rob, Lance, and John have all have two whoopings. Okay, I'm looking to make sure I didn't miss anybody. I don't think I did. There's four teams who've had two whoopings. All right, and then there is... Wait a minute. Sorry. Derek's been whooped three times, and Amanda's been whooped three times, which Amanda, the first 3 weeks of the season, got whooped every week. And so she's not been whooped since then. But yeah, Derek's been whooped three times. Amanda three times. I've been whooped twice, you know, so.
I don't think the person that's got whooped the most have ever made the playoffs either, right?
I think you're right.
I think it's been every time the person that got whooped the most didn't make it. But Amanda's going to buff that trend.
Probably. I'd have to go back and look, but.
Typically, if you get whooped a lot, your team's probably in bad shape.
Who got the plunger last year? Was it Jeff?
Oh, I got it. I believe.
You got whooped the most?
Yeah, he didn't make the playoffs last year, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think the person has. I remember.
I didn't get the plunger. I got the other toilet bowl award. What was that?
It's the one that you've hanged on your mantle?
It's in a dark corner in a back room somewhere.
Oh, wait, no. Jeff did make the playoffs last year. So, I don't know. Maybe he didn't.
He got whooped the most last year, Jeff did?
Maybe I'm misremembering.
We got all our files messed up over here, guys. So we'll have to, next week we'll get that straightened out.
Yeah.
But we do know Jeff has a little paddle.
Yeah.
Next week on the CFL files. All right. I guess that will be the end of this segment. All right. Anything else, guys?
No. That'll do it. We'll move on to our next segment with the mailbag. We've got a few questions.
I got it right here.
Oh, you want us to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do the mailbag.
It.
All right. Just Kyle wrote in, Dr. Teeth. He asked, if you had to curse your top running back with Nick Chubb's knee or Anthony Richardson's shoulder, who would you pick? You had to curse your top running back with Nick. Who would you pick?
I don't think I understand the question.
I guess the shoulder.
Give me the shoulder all day. If it's even then, they're probably out. If I had to pick someone else's, I'd probably pick Gibbs. I mean,
how dare you?
Look, McCaffrey's been awesome.
That's my son.
I'd almost been saying he's your daddy. But, if he walked in this room, I feel like he'd prove it.
He would get a hug.
He would. But, I love him.
Oh, Steve.
I think he's the most dangerous. Probably. Gibbs. Not a fight. I don't know if Gibbs is the most... Derrick Henry's probably the most dangerous to fight. Like, if they walked in, just to add a little to that. But who would you... Who do you think's the most dangerous running back? I think it's Gibbs.
Right now, I would say Gibbs.
And McCaffrey's going to put 40 on you, but could he put 60, 70? Absolutely, but he hasn't done it. But Gibbs, I mean, he dropped 90. He's just so explosive. They use him all the time.
McCaffrey had a 60-point game. But, I don't discount Bijan. And I know that the Atlanta's, they lost Penix. They just... But he's capable.
I mean, he's capable
as well.
Too, but I think as right now as it stands.
Just the Detroit offense is just a machine. It just is, and he's getting his most weeks. So I'm good with that.
Okay. Kyle wrote in, would you rather have prime Aaron Rodgers 2009 to 2014 with no weapons, or Patrick Mahomes right now with Tariq gone and the current Chiefs wide receiver room? Where's Kyle coming from? Where's Kyle doing his research?
That's pretty deep.
Rodgers, he knew his prime.
In his prime with no weapons, he said?
His prime with no weapons, or Patrick Mahomes right now, which I'd say Mahomes is in his prime.
Yeah.
With his current wide receiver.
I mean, I guess you had to take Mahomes, right?
Give me Patty.
Yeah,
I mean, even Rodgers in his prime, it ain't like he had...
He had... He had Adams. Jordan Nelson.
He's got Rasheed Rice. Yeah. I mean, Rasheed Rice is pretty daggone good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Travis Kelce. He's older, but he's still pretty. I mean, that's a tough call. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, before in his prime, was considered probably the best quarterback to play the game. Like, just a pure quarterback. Not the most accomplished, but.
He's not. Yeah, he doesn't win. Big one, only did it once.
Yeah, I mean, but he did it. But he was still, like, skill-wise, people arguably said he was the best.
People do hype him up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the man, but.
We tend to forget how good he was, some of these players are. He was throwing 300 yards, like, in his sleep. Yeah, so.
He made a lot of, Adams was good. Nelson was good.
I wouldn't like say it's a slam dunk. Give me Patrick Mahomes, and it ain't even close. I wouldn't say that. I would say, the problem I'm having with the whole question is like no weapons. So I mean, like, what does that even mean?
Okay, well,
like,
I had to say he had his like, weapons. Who would you take?
And that's definitely tougher. I mean,
I think I'd still take Patrick Mahomes
with his current receiver roster.
Yeah, I think Rice
Rodgers with weapons.
I think Rice is at least adequate to anything that.
Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings?
And
they were pretty nasty.
Greg Jennings was good, man.
What tight end did
Aaron Rodgers have? I think who his tight end was.
Like, said
Mercedes Lewis, I guess.
I feel like there was another one. I'm blanking on it.
Travis
Kelce, obviously, is the best tight end. But
he's
current.
He's 30-something years old, too.
Yeah, it's current.
But I think it's... Like Brad said, I think it's a lot harder to say.
Yeah.
I mean, because like Brad said, back in 2014, Rodgers was killing it.
Yeah.
They won a bunch of
games.
He was
probably a top five fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll ask you further. You're going to draft a team straight out of college. Who are you taking? Rodgers or Mahomes for their careers?
Mahomes.
Regardless of accomplishments. Like, you may not get the same that he had.
Mahomes.
A better head coach. Mahomes.
I mean, probably, but it's not like, again, it's not.
We got the benefit of hindsight, but I think.
Pure passer, I'd say it's probably Rodgers.
Rodgers is a better, more accurate passer, but
I think Mahomes is better
creator.
Yeah.
And he gets more rushing yards in our league. That's highly valued.
Yeah. All right, his last question. If you had to be literally handcuffed to another Chaos League owner for 72 hours, who are you picking? Guess who Brad's going to pick? They might do that anyway.
Brad, you go first. And we just get
out of the way. You were handcuffed the last time to rob me 72 hours. How was it?
Would you want to do that again?
Would you do it twice?
But you see what's hanging on my laptop right there.
The first time was a consensual.
There was no first time. What are you talking about?
The first time you were handcuffed for 72 hours.
It's like Rob came in and it's like, I gotcha.
So, I mean, everybody knows what I'm picking, right? So what's more interesting is who are you picking? That's what's more interesting. So let's shut your big fat mouth and turn it right back around on you. Who are you picking?
I just want to hear
you. Who are you picking?
I'm going to answer the
question. I want to know who you're picking.
I'm going to answer it.
Yeah, yes, you are going to answer it.
But I want to hear you answer
it. Everybody knows my answer. There's no drama there. The drama is right now with you.
I have no problem.
Who are you picking? Huh?
Probably Lance.
Why? Are you?
That'd probably be the easiest.
Like, why?
72 hours of my life. I wouldn't have to worry much about nothing.
You'd be like, you all right over there, Lance?
He's going to have one hand, his other hand in his pocket. So I don't have to worry about that.
You're going to have your hand in his pocket.
He's going to have his other hand in his pocket. I'm never going to have to worry about it. And we're probably going to have some good conversation.
So are you saying that you're going to be playing pocket pool with each other? Is that what you're...
Well, you can try to spin that.
Is that what you're saying?
You have the opportunity now to pick Lance.
You dropped a little Easter egg right there.
He's going to have his hand.
You were talking about putting your hands in his pockets.
Okay. So keep going.
No, you keep going.
I answered it. You answered.
You're blushing right now. So,
I said that with a straight. I will take Lance in a heartbeat to be handcuffed.
You answered it.
I answered. Asked and answered.
Back to back.
But now you answer.
No, I don't need to answer.
Yeah, I think
Levi's turn to answer because nobody knows.
No, you're taking Rob.
No, exactly. No, that's why there's no.
Yeah, why? He,
no, I don't.
He's nodding. Okay. So,
right.
So he's nodding, Brad. Rob. I think it's probably you, John. Just because I could get in an argument with you for like 3 days and it'd be over.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be good with personal space.
Yeah.
So I think probably you.
You like pool? You like pool?
We would have a separate thing.
Yeah. Huh?
We would put a piece of tape on the floor.
I've had good conversations with John. I can get into an argument about dumb stuff with him. It'd be over before I even know it.
We can definitely. I don't know if we'd go 3 days. We would both know, hey, it's time just to shut up and be quiet for a day.
Yeah, we needed to.
Yeah, like we would need our regroup time. Lance, I just think it'd be a pleasurable, breezy 72 hours.
Pleasurable?
Yeah.
All right, you've thrown out a couple of little hints.
I've stood by my answer. You have yet
pleasurable.
To
pleasurable. It almost sounds like you're wanting this to happen. Pleasurable.
No, he asked. Who would I pick?
It would be pleasurable to be handcuffed to another man for 72 hours?
Well, in the extent that I happen to be handcuffed.
It's a scenario. Like, yeah. You know, it's never going
to
happen.
I would never say pleasurable to be handcuffed to another man for 72 hours. That would not be one of the words I would use.
If you had to.
Right. I would never use the word pleasurable.
You had to be literally handcuffed.
If I had to be handcuffed to another man, I would not use the word pleasurable in any way to describe it.
Relatively speaking.
No, it ain't relatively.
Yes, it is, because there's not.
No, it's because you got your hands.
Give your answer.
You're walking your hands around the back.
No. Give your answer.
Huh?
Explain it. I've explained mine. He's explained it.
You guys already. How is this? This is anticlimactic.
We can't speak for you, though.
Huh?
We know what the answer is.
Well, you already know I got a hacksaw brother, man.
Okay.
And we're cool.
How does the 72 hours go?
So the 72 hours would have to be politics free. As long as it's politics free, me and him are like, we're like two peas in a pod.
So, like, you wouldn't lose your mind after, like, the 50th throat clear.
I think I'd rather hear politics. 50 of those. I mean, 20 of those is tough.
I used to work with them.
I mean, I respect it. You know what I mean? Like, he's a large man. He's got to clear his throat a lot. So.
But then it's everything that comes after that. He's clearing his throat to tell you something. But you're probably not going
to hear. You read that question. That's the only thing you wanted to talk about was me and Rob.
No.
That's all you wanted to do.
Did I not answer that question?
No, you did, but reluctantly.
No, I didn't.
After
I wanted you to.
You went immediately to me and Rob.
Well, sure, because it was easy picking. I mean, who has literally been handcuffed verbally for, 7 years now? How long has the hacksaw been going on?
Too long.
4 years?
As long as we've been doing this podcast.
Yes, yeah.
The fourth year?
Yeah, fourth year.
The first 4 years we've heard y'all.
Four glorious years.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Keep going.
I mean, I could keep going, but it's not in relation. Glorious is not in relation to this handcuff scenario.
Would you say glorious?
Pleasurable for you and Lance.
Would you say glorious?
You said pleasurable to be handcuffed to another man.
It was glorious.
You need to think about this.
Is glorious a pleasurable experience?
I said glorious 4 years. I didn't say glorious to be handcuffed to the man.
You want to dust? You know what? I'm not attacking. I was giving you a platform.
Well, so I've got a question because I really want to change the subject.
I bet you do.
And it's there's probably not much background to this right now. So I guess I need to provide some context. Although we did allude to it earlier when Levi made a comment about. That you love Jahmyr Gibbs. So my question is, prior to the pod going live, you know, Levi and I had a one-on-one discussion, you know, about some things, and I got to get to it. I'm building up the story, okay?
Yeah,
so everybody understands.
No.
So we were actually discussing playoff scenarios, and he said he was pulling for me to win. And I said, oh, that's great. And I said, why are you pulling for me to win? And he said, well, because if you win, Jason loses and I'm in. And I said, all right, that's fine. So you're not pulling for me because you love me. And then he kind of just didn't even answer it. He kind of just looked down like in shame or something. No. You may have said no.
Then you try to like give me you were a little hurt.
I
hurt your feelings, which I apologize.
Well, but then I asked a more direct question next. I said, so do you love me? And he said, sure.
Like, sure.
That's how it sounded to you. To me, it sounded like, sure. And so the question is, does Levi love me? Like me, not just my fantasy team this week.
I think that's obvious.
That's the way I felt. So, Levi, do you love me?
I don't love you right now.
That's not my question. It's a simple question.
I mean, do you want to?
We'll let the audience.
Yeah,
we're gonna leave that there for now. That will be answered next week. But here's the question that we had before the pod, which we actually should have recorded it, so it's gonna be a little more rehearsed. What are the opinions of this panel for picking up players for teams that aren't in the playoffs starting next week? So I'll give you a little background. I kind of overreacted to week 14 thinking, why are people picking up players, namely Derek and Rob? But they didn't do it during like the waiver period. Of course, Derek has no money, which Levi made a good point. Well, they're playing because they ruined somebody's season. So, well, that makes perfect sense. They still have, I think, weeks 1 through 14, pick up and drop everything. That's fine. Now, as far as in the playoffs, what are your thoughts of any team picking up and dropping players?
I mean, I prefer them. Well, like, are you talking about in the playoffs?
Just playoffs. Week 1 through 14, I think we all agree, anybody can pick up and drop up. What except Fab, they can spin it how they want. It doesn't matter.
I think that, like, there's a problem. A little bit of a problem where, like, there's no set rule to pick up players, like, if you're not in the playoffs. And there's a toilet seat that you can lose or win by losing. And that incentivizes people to not want to, you know, lose while they're in it. So that they're going to want to pick up players if they can't field a roster or there's somebody out there, which could hurt other playoff teams. And then I feel like one solution could be that after week 14, after the regular season's over, we just lock all waivers. And the teams that, even if you're in the playoffs, you can't pick up players, but like you can plan ahead and it brings a little more strategy in where like you've looked at the schedule, you have the players. A big injury doesn't hurt you as much unless you've like planned ahead and like picked up backups and stuff like that. And it keeps other teams from like doing that and like getting players during the week. Or we could just have a rule where you can't, if you're not in the playoffs, then you can't pick up players.
So we can vote on the ladder as far as locking the waivers for all teams. I'm going to vote no against that because, you know, sometimes you get a league winner that comes off the waiver wire in the playoffs. You know, so you'll lose that, right? Like, how many times have we seen, like, who's that guy in the lineup? It's just because it's week 16. This team's not playing their starters. And that, you know, there's backups that come in at the end of the year. And you'll lose that. Nobody will get a chance to have that, you know, Andre Smithenberg, who comes off the bench and scores 40 points.
That could still happen. You got to do that regular season. Like, all right, like, it's the end of the year. My buys are over with. I can drop this player now
but I'm not going to play. There are buys week 14.
That's true.
Would kill that. Like, Brad's got McCaffrey on a bye. So
He
would have to prepare for that week and the following
three. Yeah, I don't like that.
It's hard. It'd be hard to do. Just because of the buys. And like Brad said, week 17, the championship, which if you're on the other side of that, you probably would change your opinion that this guy wasn't going to even start until this team was out of the playoffs week 17. They played him. But that's a risk that someone took. It's a tough way to manage. If there's no, and like Levi said, we do incentivize with the, I don't really see it as an incentive. You don't want to get the toilet seat, but it is there. Incentive?
I don't know if that's a word.
So maybe something going into next year. We'll see how everybody feels about it. It was just something we talked about, you know, 15, 20
talk
minutes.
About it next year.
Well,
make a note of it.
On the other side of that coin, though, I'm very adamant because I did this, I think, last year I didn't make the playoffs. And I do not, when I don't make the playoffs, I do not pick up any players at all. Like, you're done. So if you're in the toilet bowl, I think we should lock out the waiver. You shouldn't be out there picking up players to avoid the toilet seat and potentially interfering with a playoff team picking up a guy. You know, that's all bad to me. There's no upside to, as far as I'm concerned. And we could talk about the toilet seat and all the other stuff that we do, which is kind of a cool little side thing that we do. But, I mean, when you start putting that, valuing that over these playoff teams who are playing for real, like, real awards, and you're trying to avoid some stupid toilet seat, yeah, we'll get over it. You know, if your roster's that trashy, then you deserve the toilet seat anyway. Don't be picking up players. If you're not in the playoffs, don't drop or pick up any players, period. You're done. Your season's over. Am I correct?
In the playoffs.
No?
No. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. No, in the playoffs. If you're in the toilet bowl,
yes.
Put your hands up, step back away from the computer, and don't pick up a player. Period.
I think
ever.
If y'all want to do that, you should make it a rule and have people vote on it. It's not something, it's not a rule.
I'm just giving my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be an unwritten rule because then be like, well, I didn't know that.
Fair. I mean, that's something Rob can put on the ballot next year to vote on.
Yeah, I think
it's like something. I want people to vote on this.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, that's
I think. And if anyone has a rebuttal to that, they're more welcome to come on.
I mean, yeah, if there's upside that I'm not seeing,
yeah,
please let me know. But
I'm not saying anyone has done this. I was kind of like, why is Derek and Rob at the time? I was thinking, wait a minute. I didn't think that fully when I initially started the conversation because they are trying, and I get it. Play to spoil someone's season. That's totally
fair. Fair game.
Week 1 through 14, you got Fab. You paid your entry fee for that Fab. Yep. You can pick up whoever you want. I would be making the case in the playoffs. If you're in the toilet bowl, it just let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal. Like, but I'm sure there's a lot of opinions on this, and it's something that would need to be voted. Like Levi said, it needs to be a rule. It needs to be something said. But it's one of those things that it's going to be a hard rule to put in place because if someone ends up doing it on accident, then that draws attention to that player picked up or dropped that Rob would essentially have to retroactively put back out on waiver. And then, so it kind of causes some things that unintentional. I don't think anyone would do it maliciously to do it. But we want the playoffs to be fair. You know, this is the time, this is what everybody plays for. You want to have an opportunity for all the teams that make it to have an opportunity with their Fab. And that plays into Fab, too, that, you know, Brad has McCaffrey, and it could go into he's a game-time decision. He gets put out for the game, and Brad needs to pick up a player, and then someone snagged the other guy.
Like, yeah, toilet bowl teams got Brian Robinson and all that.
But Brad has more Fab, but it doesn't play a role in it because it was his game-time decision. So he was penalized, even though he saved his money just in case, but it just didn't work out. So it's one of those things I feel like we've talked about it year in and year out. It's kind of just a little hot topic. I'm sure there's 10 different opinions on it. I'd like to hear them. I think it'd be interesting, you know, maybe kind of get some things straightened out for next season. But it's not important right now.
You know the only thing I want to hear? I want to hear everybody in the league go, yep, you're right. That's 100% right. I mean, please give me an argument.
But it's one of those, like Levi kind of makes a point, we do have incentivized the playoffs with the toilet seat. And does the winner of the toilet bowl get anything?
No, there's not real award. It's a sideshow.
For being the worst.
You get a certificate.
No,
or you get a toilet seat.
That's if you lose the toilet
bowl. That's if you lose the toilet
bowl. Right.
If you win, I know this year it there's
no practice, you get a plunger because I got it. I won the toilet bowl last year.
The plunger.
What's the toilet seat?
That's for losing the
toilet bowl.
What's the plunger for winning?
For winning it.
Oh.
And I have it at my house right now. So I know I won the toilet bowl. This might
have been an elaborate scheme just to get Brad to admit
it. He has a plunger.
Yeah, I think...
You know what's funny is I won the toilet bowl last year and I didn't touch my lineup at all. At all.
Right, I think most people don't. I'll set my lineup if I have
to. I didn't even set it. I just left it as is when I left the season, regular season. I never touched it.
Your team
and I won it.
Versus the worst.
So see, you can still win it if you don't do anything. I'm proof of that. All right.
That was just more of a just kind of a talking point. It's not that I don't think I'm not accusing you of like doing anything wrong.
No.
What you believe you paid for, and you're doing what you. That's fine.
There was a point in the. I don't remember what year it was. This may have been in Derek's league, but I remember Joe. I believe it was Joe who was in the toilet bowl and was out there picking up players, and we had to say something to Joe about it.
I know we did.
Because he's a waiver wire junkie.
Yeah. That was
he's an addict.
He doesn't
he can't stop.
He hears a whistle.
Yeah. Like, he plays to the whistle.
Yeah.
So. But in fairness to Joe, there's no rule that was telling him not to do.
No, I don't think it would. No. It's one of those where I think some people believe one thing and some people believe another about the spirit of the game, and they just conflict. And I think it's probably something that does need a rule because. We talked about it before. We don't need a rule for people just dumping their players. Nobody's going to do that, right? Right?
Yeah, playoffs, that'd be messed up.
You know, Derek's not going to dump his lineup and let people pick, you know. That's not happening. So we don't need a rule for that. But I feel like this is people have different ideas. Well, I pay for the league, and I'm going to hurt anybody that I can. The way that's how we operate, really. I want to hurt you any way that I can. So maybe we need to maybe going into next year, kind of look at things. And, you know, we do that every year anyway.
Yeah, we always tweak. And
yeah, it's just fine.
It's why I think Coughlin Rogers, good commissioner. He always wants to improve and always want to make things better.
Good leagues do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you stay stagnant, the league becomes stale. And you're like, well, then if you feel like you keep getting screwed all the time because no one's listening, then you just kind of disconnect. So I feel like this is the league that the commissioner does listen. He does put things up. I think we've already got a few things on the plate for next year with increasing the buy-in and stuff like that. And I'm sure after the season, we'll probably have what things do you like, what things do you not like. I'm sure he'll want to know, like, are there things we want to change? This seems to be potentially one of them. I don't think it's that big a deal, but that was just a question. Has anybody got any more questions?
I'm good. We went over everything.
We'll just wait till next week to find out if we all love Brad.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah, we'll leave that out there.
Yeah,
I think that's good. What do they call that? Where you lead to the next show? What do they call that?
Cliffhanger.
I'm gonna say silence is violence.
That's all I got for the mailbag.
I don't know what to tell you, Brad.
Silence is violence.
Isn't that like zombie from a. The Cranberries? Wasn't that a line?
I don't remember. It might be.
I thought it was. Yeah. So maybe I'm
not. All right, moving on.
Yeah, let's move on.
There we go.
Let's do.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be hope to tune in next week. We'll have playoff matchups.
Oh, real quick. Before we go, next week, this is somewhat serious. If anyone can record a commercial or something crazy, just send it in. Record it, send it to Levi. We want to add that in. I think we kind of didn't do that much this year.
Yeah.
You know, kind of add at the end of the year, kind of just a goofy way to go out for the playoffs or be week one of the playoffs, I guess, next week. But yeah, just send something in. Rob, I know you've been itching to make a commercial. I think my nephew has been. Brad likes to read them. Jeff. I'm calling you out. You haven't done it. You got time. Piece together a good ad.
I'll put the best one on the next episode.
Yeah, Kyle can bring it. He's got that radio voice.
Yeah.
He can do that. So
challenge to the league. Yeah, get creative and throw something at us. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, we'll see you all next week. Take care.
All right, Chaos Fantasy Trash Bags. It's the final week of the regular season, and there's plenty on the line this week in terms of playoff seeding And one of the shaky babies are going to be left out in the cold. Levi loves my team this week. And he loves his team, of course. But does he love me as a person? I guess we'll see. If you're destined for the toilet bowl, do everyone a favor and don't even think about picking up players off the waiver wire. But in the meantime, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.